Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, we're going to dive into a little Celebrity Corner update edition. In today's program, we have an update as to regards to the Aretha Franklin estate.
Well, when she passed away, we thought there was no will, right?
That's right. The big update this week is that three documents have been found purporting to be possible holographic wills.
Mm-hmm.
Holographic will is a will that is written in a testator's own handwriting. We'll go into the requirements, and interestingly enough, the Detroit Free Press has got a copy of the file. As you know, probate files are public record, so they have actually printed, scanned all the documentation in, and you can see Aretha Franklin's wills. One's from 2014, two are from 2010, and they are interesting, to say the least. In handwriting, not sure if it's Aretha Franklin's handwriting, but in handwriting, and, a lot of stuff crossed out, a lot of, words that are difficult to read.
It sounds almost like it was intended to be a draft.
Yeah, it may be, yeah. So it may be notes that were written down, for a prospective will. We'll get into all that, but just to kind of set the stage. So Aretha Franklin died late in 2018, age 76, pancreatic cancer, an estate estimated at $80 million.
Mm.
And as we said, it was opened up as an intestate estate, meaning no will, four sons sharing equally, 25% each in the estate. Now, one of her sons, Clarence, has special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of an issue there because, if he's on any type of government assistance and he takes property outright through inheritance, it could jeopardize his benefits. Oddly enough, Sabrina Owens, who's Aretha's niece, was appointed as administrator of the estate, and that was just based upon agreement by the heirs. So the heirs could say, look, we want a neutral party. They believe Sabrina would be neutral. They named her. Now, there's been several developments before we found these three purported wills that have gone on in the Franklin estate. Ted White, who is her ex-husband, has now filed a petition saying that he's entitled to some of her music royalties. He served as Franklin's manager for a brief time period while they were married, and he's claiming that he should get some music royalties. Edward Franklin, who's one of the beneficiaries, one of the heirs of the estate, he wants more disclosure, and he's requested copies of all invoices supporting payment to friends and relatives of the administrator, so Sabrina, the niece, for services performed for the estate. So he's obviously believing that there's inappropriate payments going on where Sabrina's taking care of friends and family for services, we'll put in air quotes, performed for the estate, and he's wanting more documentation on that.
So this is already a mess.
We did update before, you may recall, Ben, that says that she owed $6.3 million in taxes. The IRS filed a claim against the estate for $6.3 million. The estate's claiming that $3 million of that $6.3 million has already been paid and that they're working out the details on the rest. That's kind of their position. Also, a theft investigation. It sounds like, as the world turns or something like that. There's a theft investigation regarding items that were stolen, and the Detroit police would not comment on the investigation as it's an ongoing investigation, but that they did investigate items that were stolen from her Detroit, suburban mansion, about a 4,000 square foot mansion, that was broken into. And then we go to the big story, the latest story, which is three wills, purported wills, I guess we should say, that were found at her home. They total 14 pages. One is from 2014. It was found in a spiral notebook, and it was underneath couch cushions.
Huh. And it opens up with to whom it may concern and being of sound mind.
That's right.
Yeah, so you can tell what it's about.
Purports to be mm-hmm. a will. Exactly mm-hmm. right. We've got two from 2010 mm-hmm. that were found in a locked cabinet in her residence.
Right. Which you would think they would have found that.
They said they couldn't find the key to the cabinet. The key mysteriously appears. Mm-hmm. They open up the cabinet and boom, there's two handwritten wills mm-hmm. sitting inside of there.
I would have opened up that cabinet one way or the other before going and filing an estate.
Yeah. Claim. Well, you know, the interesting thing is you remember, Ben, her lawyer said mm-hmm. that he was on her about making a will or setting up trust, uh-huh. you know, doing her estate planning documents for years and that she refused to do so. So it's possible that she went around the lawyer mm-hmm. and has now, you know, done her own thing, so to speak, with these wills. Now, it's important, I think, let's dive in a little bit to what is the law on holographic wills, because a lot of people are out there sure. thinking, you know,
this can't be illegal.
Yeah. You know, well, yeah, either one, like, this is ridiculous. These mm-hmm. these documents in a spiral notebook and a couch cushion all of a sudden become a last will and testament. Is that possible? You know, or the other way, which is, you know, that makes sense. You should be able to write your own will. Well, the answer is, in Michigan, you can. Mm-hmm. They have a holographic will statute. Their requirements are it's dated, it's signed, it's intended to be a will, mm-hmm. and that the material portions are in the testator's own handwriting. Okay? So that's what's required in order for one or maybe all of these documents, and that's what we can get into, whether or not we have a will with codicils,
right.
whether we, you know, with, so right. you have to read all three of these documents together,
uh-huh.
or whether or not the 14 takes precedent over the two 10s. You know, there's going to be some issues regarding that. Also, you know, what is the disposition? Because she's got some interesting dispositions in there. She does treat her children equally for the most part, but uh-huh. she gives certain residences to certain children.
Yeah, I saw one who said to either live in or sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And she also named, interestingly enough, Ben, her son Keycalf,
mm-hmm.
as the executor of the estate in the 14 document.
Huh.
So now we've got a conflict whether or not he should potentially be the executor or the niece who they have, who obviously Edward has a problem with at the moment.
Right.
So, you know, that's the situation. Now, interestingly enough, North Carolina law is a little bit different, and uh-huh. this would play a big role in this particular case, I believe, if we were under North Carolina law. And North Carolina says we also allow holographic wills.
Mm-hmm.
You can handwrite your own will.
Yeah.
It must be entirely in the decedent's own handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So in Michigan, it just says the material portions.
Uh-huh.
In North Carolina, it must be entirely
in
the decedent's own handwriting.
What would be non-material portions?
So material portions, I think, would be when you're naming your executor, when you're disposing of assets,
mm-hmm.
those would be what I'd call the operative provisions of the will.
Kind of like filling in a blank.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. And so those are the differences between the handwriting requirements. Obviously got to be signed in North Carolina. And then here's the critical distinction between North Carolina and Michigan. North Carolina requires that this document be found after the testator's death among the valuable papers and effects in a place of safekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 14 document that purports to be the latest will, which may trump all the other documents, was found, mind you, in a spiral notebook in a couch cushion.
Don't you always keep your stuff in your couch? we found stock certificates in couch cushions before, lots of things.
Would that pass muster uh-huh. as being among the testator's valuable papers and effects?
Depends on what else is
in a place of safekeeping. You know, I think it's interesting.
It's pretty safe. Nobody got it.
Yeah. And so,
but the locked cabinet though.
Yep. Obviously. And see, that's exactly right. That's where you go. So you've got one in a couch cushion. You got one in a locked cabinet.
But that's not Michigan law.
Exactly right. So under North Carolina law, I think we would have a little turn here, a twist or a turn.
Right.
You know, it's important for our listeners to know, obviously, being an estate planning attorney, I encourage you to come to the office and let's do you a nice written attested will
mm-hmm.
that's going to be self-proved where you can go admit it to probate no problem, and we will make sure that it passes complete muster under North Carolina law. But, you know, in the event that you're out there and you've done a handwritten will or you've thinking about writing your will, mm-hmm. not a great idea. But if you think that's a good thing to do, you know, that's one of the requirements in North Carolina law, that it's found amongst your valuable papers and effects in a place of safekeeping. And then the probate of that will, Ben, mm-hmm. under North Carolina law, if you do have this handwritten will, you must have three witnesses that testify that that is your handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a requirement after your death. There has to be an affidavits of three witnesses to attest to the handwriting. And then one person must sign an affidavit regarding the location and must be willing to say that that they believe it was found amongst the valuable papers and effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just an interesting twist. You know, when we first talked about Aretha Franklin and it being an intestate estate, similar to along the lines of Prince's estate, you know, we knew there was going to be twists and turns. And, you know, I could imagine people, a manager coming out of the woodwork about royalties. You know, we've got issues with the beneficiaries not getting along in this particular estate, so it appears. But who knew that we'd find three handwritten documents that purport to be the will?
Now, if you have a handwritten will, holographic will, what if you do scratch something out?
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's where you start getting into interpretation. A lot of times, Ben, what you have to do is have a declaratory judgment action as to what effect that cross out. Is it initialed? Is there a new term that's been put in there?
Is it just a misspelling that was crossed out, for example, and then corrected immediately?
Yeah, and you know, I'd say that that's probably got pretty good precedent of the polar star is the testator's intent. So if you can prove intent through the document. I'll post this on Facebook, on our Facebook page, HarvellandCollins.com. I'll post the Detroit article so people can go back and look at these documents. They're fascinating, actually.
It is fascinating stuff. All right, and more to come on that one. It's going to be an MGM film about her life, supposedly. Well, they're going to have another film all just about her death. It's Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station.